This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. This message entitled The Reason for Christmas was delivered on November 25th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Amen. Thank you, John and Amy. There you go. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to let you know I just went panic because I reached in my back pocket and I was looking for my glasses. And I forgot I left them up here. You guys look good now. Oh, I miss you guys. You know, it was only 1 week that Carlin and I were away, but sure do miss you guys. Felt like a very long time. Last week, we actually got to go and celebrate the 28th anniversary of New Hope Puna out in Pahoa. Pastor Jaywin is there, and just let you know, Jaywin is doing good. I had to go and let him know that I'm still very angry with him for moving out there. Because of him, I got to work hard over here, but I enjoy it. But we sure did miss you guys. There is no place like home, and I'm going to let you know, don't tell Jaywin this, okay? But our church more better. But I didn't get to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, so happy belated Thanksgiving to all of you, and I hope it was very, very good. You know, there's so much that we had to be thankful for, my wife and I, this year, and especially that last week, Saturday, on the 17th, our daughter actually got married. So we are very, very blessed. I finally get to introduce Kendo as my son and his wife, CJ. But I mean, we are very blessed. And if you are anything like us, we as always, we ate too much and just enjoyed too much. And that's the kind of God that we have, that he allows us to do that. So we're very, very thankful. You know, a couple of months ago, knowing that I would have the message today, I asked James to cover for me to do worship. And as always, when I ask him to do something, you should have seen the fear in his face. His eyes just got real big, and James, he's not scared of anything, but man, it was hilarious. And just when I thought he was going to make up some lame excuse on why he couldn't, he looked at me and said, "Yes, Pastor, absolutely yes." And I know why, because Jen would make him say yes. And then he did something. He did something that I've only seen a few people do when they're asked to do something, especially when they're asked to do something way ahead of time. He immediately went into thought, and I knew what he was thinking. He was thinking about what songs he's going to sing already. And this is what he told me. He said, he expressed that thought, and he said, "Can we do some Christmas songs?" And now, when I heard that, I immediately went into thought. And my thought was, you know, it's only November. We don't do Christmas songs until December. That's way too early for Christmas songs. But before I could tell him that, it was like God showed up. And God put this thought in my heart. And he said, "Aaron, that's perfect. It's perfect because it's never too early for Christmas." And that is so true. It's never too early for Christmas. In fact, the happiest people in the world listen to Christmas music all year long. Carlin does. In fact, if you come to our house, she leaves up the little Christmas trees that she decorates. Those are up all year long. And, you know, all this time you thought that Carlin was happy because she's married to the most handsome, most intelligent man in all of East Hawaii. But it's not true. It's because she, like others, have Christmas going on inside of them all year long. And that's why they're happy. Now, some of you may not be like that. Some of you may have had the same thought this morning that I did when you heard the songs this morning. You might have been thinking, that's too early for Christmas. But I want you to know that it's not. And I want to be the first one, as we kick off the Christmas season 2018 this year here at New Hope East Hawaii, I want to be the first one to wish you a Merry, Merry Christmas. So, if you're grinching it up right now, I just have one thing to say to you. And it comes from the great philosopher, the one known as SpongeBob SquarePants, who said, "Don't be a jerk, it's Christmas." In fact, today's message, the reason for Christmas, might be helpful to you when in the coming week somebody comes up to you and wishes you a happy holidays, and in turn, you wish them back Merry Christmas. Amen. And then they come back to you with, "Why did you say that? Why do you say Merry Christmas?" Well, after today, you'll have the answer. So what is the reason? What is the reason for Christmas? The book of Luke, chapter 2, tells us the story of an angel who came to make the announcement of the first Christmas. And contained in this announcement is the threefold reason, the three components, personally wrapped up in one God-given gift of why we celebrate Christmas. And the first is just that. First component is celebration. Celebration. At that very first Christmas, in verse 8, it tells us, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" You see, Christmas is a celebration. It's a party. More specifically, it's a birthday party. All over the world, people are partying. In fact, we have more parties at Christmas time than any other time of the year. Many of us are going to be celebrating Christmas office parties this year. I look forward to that. But Christmas is a happy, celebratory time. Yet, isn't it disturbing that we forget the guest of honor as we party way too often? Christmas, folks, is a birthday party for Jesus. And that's why we say Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. It's about celebrating the Christ. Now, let me tell you something that you probably don't realize about my God. And it's that my God loves to party. God loves to party. And as you read through the journey of the Israelites from Egypt into the Promised Land, for every victory, for every hardship overcome, for every milestone accomplished, God commanded, not suggested, no. He commanded them to celebrate. The Bible also tells us that for every person who repents and turns their lives back to God, all of heaven parties, for every single one. The Almighty God loves to celebrate. And we're supposed to be just like him in this because we were created in his image. But way too often during Christmas, we get grouchy. We get stressed out. We get overwhelmed. We get depressed. You know why? Because we get too busy with everything else going on and we forget to celebrate Jesus. Folks, don't forget this year to celebrate Jesus. The angel said, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy." What is the good news? The good news is that God gave us a gift. Not a new car, not a new house, not money. He didn't give us those things because those are just temporary. He gave us a gift like only God can. A gift that would last for eternity. The gift of Jesus Christ. And through that gift, God is saying to us three things. He's saying, "I love you, I am with you, and I am for you." Now that, my friends, is good news. And when you think about that, that is worth celebrating. Amen? So let's touch on those three things a little bit for a moment. A, God loves us. God loves us. In John 3:16, it says that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loved the world, and that's why he sent Jesus. He was sent to us as a message of love. And Christmas is God saying to you, I love you. And he loves you on your good days as much as your bad days. How many of you know that person who you say, oh, that bugger, hard for love? Well, God loves that guy too. God loves you when you feel it and when you don't feel it. And he loves you when you think you deserve it and when you don't think you deserve it. You know why? Because his love is not based on what you do. His love is based on who he is. And God is love. Now, God doesn't just love us and then leave us. But B, God is with us. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. In fact, the name Emmanuel, which refers to Jesus as well, means God with us. Now, I know that this one might hit home for many of us, because I know that many of us have been forsaken in our lives or abandoned. And you feel a sting of that even stronger come Christmas time. Well, here's the good news, that our God is always with us, always will be with us, and always wants to be with us. No other God in the universe would ever dare to make that claim. And God is with us because, see, God is for us. God is for us. I don't know of any other God who is always looking for his people's success. And not just success in this lifetime, but success for all of eternity. Again, no other God can make that claim. Jesus said it like this. He said, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, Jesus came to make us successful, not to condemn us. He came to save us, not to scare us. And that's why the first thing the angel said in Luke 2 was, do not be afraid. And just a side note here. You know, way too often, Christians think that it's their job to deliver a doomsday message, to make people scared. And there's nothing further from the truth, especially when it comes to Christmas. Because if that's what God wanted, then Jesus would have done that himself. He wouldn't have come as a little baby. He would have come as a monster. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus never tried to scare the hell out of people. Instead, he chose to purpose to love them into heaven. To let us know that God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? God says, I love you, I am with you, and I am for you. And that's why we celebrate. Now, number two, the second component of Christmas is reconciliation. Reconciliation. Number one, celebration. Number two, reconciliation. In verse 14, the angel declares, he says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. See, Jesus came to bring us peace. And that's why he's often referred to as the Prince of Peace. He came to bring goodwill toward, not just to, but bring goodwill toward men. You see, back then in the world, there was so much unrest, so much turmoil, so much dissension. How many of you would say that still exists today? I think it's worse. That's why we still need Jesus, why we need Christmas more than ever. You know that Christmas is the one day a year of the year the nations at war, no matter where they are in the world, will almost always agree to a ceasefire. Almost always. December 26th, they go back to killing each other. But on Christmas Day, no fighting. No other day of the year can boast that. Now, with that at heart, let me pull this one in a little closer. Let me bring it closer to home and ask you this. Is there anybody that you're at war with right now? Anybody that you need to reconcile with? And you may have been at odds for years, but this year, this is the year, the Christmas, that God is speaking directly to you to cease fire. This is it. In Matthew 5:9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." But Pastor, oh man, what about them? Why God not talking to them? You know what I'll tell you? Never mind them. God talking to you. And he's asking you to give them and you a wonderful gift this year. The gift of reconciliation. Just like he did for you 2,000 years ago. I'm going to throw out a gruesome thought right now, okay? I apologize for this one, but I'm going to throw out a gruesome thought. Have you ever thought about the fact that this just might be the last Christmas, the last chance to be at peace with this person? Think about that hard. And even if it isn't, why waste any more Christmases at war? Christmas is all about peace and goodwill and reconciliation. So seize the season, this season. Perhaps, just maybe, it isn't a human being that you're at odds with, that you need peace with at all. Or maybe all of your strife with others actually stems from your struggles with a higher relationship. Maybe, just maybe, you know that today you need to reconcile your life with God. Guess what? That's exactly why you're here today. You might think you're here because your wife made you come or somebody else invited you to come. That's the secondary reason, but the primary reason is that God asked you to come just to hear this. Acts 10 tells us that it makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. Which leads us right into the third component of Christmas. Number one, celebration. Number two, reconciliation. Number three, most importantly, salvation. In verse 11 of Luke 2, the angel announces, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, there's something that I need to point out to you about salvation. Salvation is actually three-dimensional. First, you're saved from something. Second, you're saved for something. And then third, you are saved by something. You need to understand that. You know what you're saved from? You're saved from your past, from your self-centeredness, from everything you have ever thought or done wrong. That's called sin. Then you are saved for something positive, something productive. That's called purpose. And then you are saved by something. You know what you're saved by? It's called grace, which means that you don't deserve it, nor can you earn it. Let me expound on that. First, I'm saved from my sin. Saved from my sin. And that's what the name Jesus actually means. Look at Matthew 1, verse 21, where it says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, what is sin? What is sin anyway? We often think that sin is an action. But the truth is that sin is not really an action. You see, the actions are actually the result of sin in your life. Sin is not an action. Sin is really an attitude. The attitude which says, I don't need God. How many times have you heard somebody say, God and I, the man upstairs, and me, we have an understanding. He does his thing, and I do mine. You know what God understands about people who say that? That they don't understand anything at all. You know, hell is not going to be necessarily filled with pilau people. In fact, heaven going to get plenty of pilau people. I'm one of them. Hell is going to be filled with people who thought that they did not need God. Let me just be real blunt, okay? You need God. Each and every one of us has had that attitude in our lives at some point or another. That's sin. And if you think about it, every one of our problems is caused by sin. That's why we all need a Savior. That's why God gave us Christmas. Now, you also need to know that God doesn't save you just so that you can say you saved. You are be saved for a purpose. You're saved for a purpose. 2 Timothy, we find this statement. It says that he saved us and called us to be his own people, not because of what we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. So, Pastor Aaron, what is my purpose? I think I told you the answer to this one before, right? The answer is, I don't know. Neither does Pastor Scott know or anybody else. See, I know my purpose. And I know my purpose because I sit with God and I ask him. And then I'm quiet to listen. You want to know your purpose? Sit with God and ask him. And then take the time to listen to him. And then when you get your purpose, don't just say, right on, good purpose. Go and do something about it. Because I promise you this, that if you leave this world without accomplishing the purpose that God has for you here, it's going to be a long eternity thinking about that. One thing I know for sure is that your purpose is just like mine and will revolve around God's purpose. What is God's purpose? It's to love people into heaven. And then see, we are saved by God's grace. Saved by God's grace. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And there's only really one thing that I need to say about that. And it's that you've been given a gift, a wonderful present from the Almighty God. The gift of salvation, the gift of grace. So open it. Now I'm going to wrap up today's message with a short story. One that took place on an unusually warm winter's night, where a little girl named Grace, along with her father, mother, and grandmother, decided to take an evening stroll through the neighborhood to enjoy the Christmas displays. And as they were enjoying the lights, the joy of the season, and especially the company of one another, they happened upon the most magnificent nativity scene any one of them had ever set their eyes upon. And without a word, they were all drawn to its sheer beauty. Every detail so intricately crafted. The animals, Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, and the three wise men were so lifelike that they almost expected them to start talking. Even the gifts that the wise men held in their hands were decorated so delicately beautiful that it took their breath away. It was then that Mom thought it an excellent opportunity for a history lesson and to display her intelligence as she announced, Grace, the Did you know that of the three gifts that the wise men gave, it was the myrrh that was the most important? This rare and intoxicating perfume would be used only on special occasions, and it's probably given to Jesus to anoint him. Now, Dad, not wanting to be outdone, immediately piped up. He said, "Shows how little you really know, lady. Everyone who knows anything about the gifts knows that frankincense was more costly than myrrh, so costly that they would only use it on more special occasions, mainly in the embalming process when somebody dies. And you know what? It smelled better than myrrh, too." Now, of course, Grandma had to have her say, too, and she blurted out, "You young people, always trying to show off what you know or what you think you know, but you don't know anything. The most important gift here is gold. Gold is and always has been the standard of measure for wealth. And think about it. Without the gold, how would you even purchase the other two?" Well, what ensued was a three-way war, a heated debate on which gift was the most important. In fact, facts were thrown out one after the other, along with insults. And what had started off as a beautiful evening transformed into a battlefield of useless knowledge. Dumbfounded and downcast, little Grace broke away from the spectacle, propped herself down beside the manger. Tears welled up in her eyes as she tried to block out the sound of the people she loved most dear at each other's throats. The mom was the first one to notice, and genuinely humbled, she halted her bickering, knelt down beside Grace, and placed a consoling hand on her shoulder and whispered, "Oh, baby girl, I am so sorry." Grandma, seeing what had transpired, also desisted. She folded her hands in front of her and bowed her head in disgrace. But Dad, still unwilling to surrender, believing that his argument would prevail above the others, crouched down on the other side of the little girl, put her hand upon her head, and smugly asked, "Darling, which gift do you think was the most important?" Quietly, little Grace looked up, reached a hand onto the rail of the manger, and softly spoke the two most important words uttered that evening: "The baby." Now, isn't it like that, the heart of a child, to remind us about what is really important, especially in this season? I want to encourage you, everything you do this year, remember the true reason for Christmas. It's not about the festivities or the marketing, not about the decorations, not even about the presents. It's about celebration and reconciliation, and especially salvation, all wrapped up in one tiny gift, the gift of Christ. Jesus is the reason for Christmas. Amen? Pastor Scott.
You guys got that. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the parades. But it's about Jesus. About the reconciliation, the celebration, and the salvation. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm going to ask you, as I pray, would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? You know, if someone here has that knock on their heart, feels the urge to say, "Yes, I want this gift of salvation. I want this gift of eternal life, reconciliation with God," then I'm going to ask you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, that you would pray this prayer with me. It goes like this: Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me, change me, cleanse me, make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I would like to pray for you. Would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anyone out there? Thank you, Lord. Help us to remember, not just this season, but forevermore, why we celebrate Christmas. It's because you came to earth, because you loved us, and you wanted a relationship with us. So, Lord, I pray that as we go through this season, and when people tell us happy holidays, we will respond with Merry Christmas, and we would know why we say Merry Christmas. So we thank you for today. We thank you for Pastor Aaron for this message. So now we know it's Merry Christmas and not Happy Holidays. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all stand and join us as we sing?
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.